FreeDotCom. This message from First Conservative Baptist Church. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, our issue today, succinctly put, we're talking about our warped priorities. What are your priorities? Some would say, well, I want a good education for my child, so therefore I'm going to vote for a president that'll make sure that the public schools continue to reign. We have a good education for our children in the public school. I'm looking at an article out of Decision Magazine, September issue. The title of the article is Pressing, Passing the Test, Christian Influence Needed to Help Shape Public Education. The article, I'll read just one paragraph. Elections have consequences. We hear this sentiment repeatedly every election cycle, and as Christians, we feel the consequences profoundly. We might choose to focus our attention on seemingly more pressing or more pleasant issues, but too often, our nation's school children are most vulnerable to the devastating effect of government's overreach or ungodly public policies. Consequently, Christians must engage on a national level, state level, and a local level for our children's sake. Our voters and as candidates seeking election office still need convincing, and it goes further in the article. This article has an insert. It is academic malpractice not to be teaching the Bible's influence on America's history, end quote, by Ryan Walters, Oklahoma Superintendent of Public School Instruction. Ladies and gentlemen, your priority in this election will make the determination, will be the determination on what we get in the public educational system. Will it be indoctrination? Will it be the sexualization of our children in the public school? Will it be where the teachers and the professors have the right to have the LGBTQIP plus sexualization agenda for our kids? What would it be the decision at the ballot box for the presidential race will make the determination on the trajectory of our nation in these moral issues? So when we talk about our warped priorities, for the person that says, well, I want to make sure that a woman can get an abortion, I want to make sure that we have a black woman as president. I've heard those that say that. One of our previous callers said that she's not black. That's exactly right, she's not. But it's being supported on that basis. In fact, when she was asked, Dana Bash, with a one-on-one interview with her, asked the question, well, you know, Donald Trump and others are saying that you're not black. How do you respond to that? And with one of her cackles, she leans over and says, next question. Refused to answer, refused to go into any detail about it. The mindset is we can fool the people and go into office on some premise or some hypothetical and not face the real issues that needs to be faced. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question and comment, please. I can't hear you, Jim.
Hello?
Jim, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
I can hear you now. You there? I don't know what's happened to Jim. I believe we lost Jim. I believe we have Terry in the line. Terry, go with the question, comment, please.
Hi, Dr. Youngblood. Can you hear
me? Good morning. Yes, I can. Go ahead.
All right. Two things. With Kamala, that she is, if she's being untruthful and the people can't see it, how can she be truthful when she's in the White House, if she gets there, which I doubt she do? And the thing about her being a black woman, she doesn't even let her people of brown skin in her family be around her, it looks like. You don't see pictures, really, of her sister, who is browner than she is, and her sister's husband is a brown black man, I guess. And her mother isn't white. And Jamaicans got to be angry of her even calling them black. They don't recognize as black Americans. And the other thing is, with our schools, I don't think that we can get a good election because you got people standing outside the election place giving you these cards with people's faces on it, not saying if they're Democrat or Republican. And a lot of people don't even know who's running and what amendments or what's going to be voted on. And that's a shame because even the Word of God says our people perish because of lack of knowledge and so many things.
Yes,
and right. To be blinded and want to go with a lie just to have a certain person in there because of their color, like with Obama. He ain't. And why can't it be that you be an American citizen and your mama and daddy be an American citizen to be able to run our government? Even people who came over here and went through the years to become American citizen. I can see that, but just because you were born here, that makes you able to run our country?
Well, Terry, one of the major things is we need to stop looking at ethnicity. We need to stop looking at the rhetoric. We need to start listening to and vetting the candidate and understand where they stand, what they're doing, and primarily, how do they stand on the Word of God? What do they believe about our constitutional liberties?
Yes.
What do they believe about our Bill of Rights? What do they believe about our right to keep and bear arms? Kamala Harris, for example, has said that when she is president, she will have mandatory federal government buyback of all weapons. Well, number one, you can't buy it back. The government doesn't own it. It's ours. And secondly, as my son Greg said, he said, Dad, he said, how in the world can they buy the gun back and the government own the gun when they have a worse record of having the right to keep and bear arms than anybody else? There's a mindset somehow, though, that says that if I just speak to you and ad lib and flip-flop on everything that I've said and change my mind and change my philosophy and verbalize it, then everything's okay. I'm looking forward to next Tuesday, I believe it is, for the debate with Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. My personal opinion is, Terry, I believe that somehow, some way, she is going to wiggle out of the debate. I may be wrong. But she's now insisting that she can have notes for the debate. And it's my opinion, in the debate, she will have already been given the questions in advance and be prepared either with notes or with an earpiece or with just memorization of the answers based on the questions. I don't believe it'll be a fair debate. Go ahead with your question.
Okay. Do you believe that let's just say if she did get in the White House, and sister girl get a chance to put her heels up on the table, on the desk, do you believe that Obama will be able to control her?
It's strange you ask that question. I believe he's been controlling the Biden-Harris administration 100% now. I believe all that we're seeing was a Obama and Nancy Pelosi negotiation behind the scenes to put Joe Biden out to pasture. I believe it was Obama and Nancy Pelosi and others that are behind the scenes pulling the strings that's now controlling Kamala Harris. And yes, I believe that he will be the controlling factor and be going through his fourth term if Kamala Harris is elected. It will not be Kamala Harris that's making the decisions.
You don't think that she will fight back at him to control? You know how women don't really need to, well, I shouldn't say that, but I am. Sometimes I think certain positions a woman should not be governing.
Well,
we don't think the same way.
Some might get angry with my statement, but God's ordained purpose is for the man, the head of the home, the man, the head of the church, a man, the head of government, and not in the hands of women. Wonderful ladies, well equipped to handle many things, but God's ideal, God's plan is that man is the leader in the home, in the family, in the nation, in the church. That's God's ideal. We have deviated from that ideal so long that it's not recognized. Terry, it demands that we keep praying, keep looking up, asking God to give wisdom in these last 60 days before the election. Thank you for your call. Have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you so much. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Dr. Lifeblood, how are you this afternoon?
Doing well. I pray that you are. You are in an echo chamber.
I don't have my radio on.
I don't. You're not coming through very clear at all, but go ahead. We'll see if we can do it.
Is this any better?
100% better, yes.
Yes, sir. Every public official that's elected to office takes an oath to uphold the law and defend the Constitution. A simple test that if it were done, would cure all the problems. When we look at a public official and we look at their record, that's going to tell us most likely who they're going to be. Kamala Harris is talking about building a wall. Well, the wall is a physical object. It could be gone over, under, or through. Basically, if she would enforce the laws that are currently on the books in regards to illegal immigration, the problem would solve itself before the election even happened. So I believe that she's disingenuous when she's speaking these terms. 16 years, only four of those last 16, we've had a Republican in the office. We've seen what one Republican presidency did in a four short years as opposed to the other 12 years by the Democratic Party. I look for a candidate that upholds the Constitution. I look for a candidate that, to be quite honest with you, I prefer that they would be businessmen. The business of government is business, and who better to run a business than somebody that's done it? A lot of these politicians are grifters. I think that I don't have any issues with term limits, but the American voter can enforce term limits, and they could do that in November very easily. If they don't match your ideas and your values, simply vote for the opposition. But you have to vote wisely. You have to know what your candidates are there, what their proposals are, what their platform is, and what they stand for. And that can be done easily. This is it's too easy to pick up the phone and look at it and hit that little microphone button and say, tell me about, and it'll give you all the information you ever want.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jim, I'm of the opinion that we have some many, many, many illiterate voters, many that are not voting at all. But here's the crux of what I'm saying today. Listen to an article, then I want your take on it. Texas Democrat who defended sex changes for kids now suggests it's unchristian to support Donald Trump. State Representative Jim Tallacrow attempted to paint the Democratic Party as a Christian choice before votes in November. Democrats spent years claiming that President Donald Trump and his supporters constitute a threat to democracy. The narrative has been used to excuse the various attempts to throw Trump in prison and to remove him from the ballot. It appears that the party may now be trying out a new narrative. The new line is this: voting for Trump is unchristian. Let me read one brief paragraph, and then I want your response. Democratic Texas Representative James Tallatrow said to MSNBC that too many Christians have forgotten all about Jesus and now worship at the feet of Donald Trump, a business cheat, a pathological liar, a serial adulterer, a twice impeached insurrectionist, a convicted felon, an adjudicated rapist, end quote. Goes further. I guess it's hate. It is hate the sin and elect the sinner. This seems to be the new motto of the Christians in our country. He goes on to say that he is deeply religious, and yet he is for the preborns to be murdered by way of abortion. He goes on to say he believes that the Texas voters who regard the display of the Ten Commandments in the classrooms are deeply unchristian. In other words, if you want the Ten Commandments in the classroom, you're unchristian. If you vote for Trump, you're unchristian. If you are against abortion, you're unchristian. How do you take on, what's your take on that? I find it egregious.
Yeah, I thoroughly agree with that statement that it is egregious there. But if the man is already giving you his position there, a little bit of wisdom, a little bit of discernment, a little bit of prayer, and a little bit of delving in the Bible tells you all you need to know about this gentleman. For him to say that the display of the Ten Commandments is unchristian there, I don't know how much farther away from having a reprobate mind that you need to have, but those were given in Exodus. All right. Yeah, Deuteronomy or Exodus? They were given by God to Moses for the people of Israel. Those rules or those Ten Commandments are just as applicable today as they were when they were brought down from the mountain by Moses himself. There's nothing wrong with it. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt love your Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul there. You know, it's straightforward guide to living there. And if he's against that and he's for abortion, he's for murder, so thou shalt not kill. He's already contradicted himself, and whenever I look at that and through my God-given wisdom and my God-given discernment, and I know what I've read in the Bible, he then becomes what is called a wolf in sheep's clothing. He's telling me lies, and he's saying them as a child of light, but they're lies. So
Jim, he goes on to say it's not Christ-like to vote against various Democratic policies, including the admittance of illegal aliens. You can't call yourself a Christian and reject strangers coming into our borders. He goes on to say in this, my faith leads me to support Vice President Kamala Harris's governor and Governor Tim Walz in this election. It is out of love for my neighbors that I vote for them. Now, I don't know of any more asinine, if you want to call it just plainly stupid, statements than making those statements, claiming to be saved, and yet then wanting to shame every Christian that votes against Kamala Harris, every Christian that votes against abortion. He's going against every Christian that stands against the open borders. It is unchristian, unchristlike. Literally, he's saying it's unchristlike to be biblical in where we stand and what we do.
Yes, sir. I would suggest everyone in hearing say a prayer for those that actually believe in this deception, that they'll come to know the true word and the meaning of God's edicts and his son, Jesus Christ. Because if they have this, they'll know that this man is bearing false witness without any doubt.
Absolutely. Jim, thank you so much for your call and your input. We need to keep praying, keep looking up, because we've got 60 days for the decisions to be made for those that are clinging to some kind of warped priorities and saying that we need to vote for Kamala Harris. Thank you for your call. I believe Jose is on the line. Jose, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
I think, brother, it's one of the signs of the last day to see all those so-called Christians. But let's be honest, brother. I said it. I know you're not saying it. It's my fault. I take all responsibility. You got lukewarm liberals that they don't have the spiritual guts or backbone to stand what the Bible says. They want to be loved by the world. They want to be famous. They don't want to be called homophobic, xenophobic, anti-this, anti-that. But yeah, they're disconnected from what the Bible says. The Bible is clear on all those topics. When you see the New Jerusalem, we talked about this before, brother. The New Jerusalem, and I'm going to ask the Lord when I make it to heaven, why he has a wall around the New Jerusalem. There's a wall around the New Jerusalem. You can find it on Revelation. And then you can find on the Old Testament that the Lord says, hey, I play before you life and death. So choose life. It's very clear. But these lukewarm so-called Christians, they want to appease everybody. They want to be more loving than God. That's the sad thing with these people. So since they don't have the spirit of God to stand for what the Bible says, they go to whatever wind or doctrine comes along, and they just you go with the flow. They want to be loved. They want to be nice. I call them the Christian gypsies. They go where the flow goes. They go wherever they go. And it's I'm sorry. It's just, I had encountered them. And when you question the Bible, they call you, oh, but you're too radical. Wait a minute, but this is what the Bible says. What do you want me to tell you otherwise?
Right.
You want me to
right.
change what it says? Leaders, they get upset with me because I say Jesus is the only way. Can you believe that, brother? And I'm like, wait, that's what it says. What do you want me to do? Well, but that's all the religions. And so what? That's what it says. But, brother, it's sad to say, but we have to stand on what the Bible says, no matter what. And I think it's very few that we can find nowadays because they have that spiritual disconnection from God and from what the Bible says. If they spend more time praying and fasting and reading the Word, they can face the enemy. But no, since they don't have the spiritual build-up, anything goes, and they start reasoning, well, maybe. I know Christians, they got some family members that they're homosexuals or lesbians. Now those beliefs, now they're questioning that. Wait a minute, I don't care if that's my dad who changed sex. God said it, and I believe it to the day that I die. But you don't
Absolutely.
Have too many like that, brother. And we need to stick right. together, and we need to say we have to speak the truth with love and with the Bible on the hand. I don't care if that's Kamala to tell me otherwise. If the Bible said it, the Bible says that even if an angel comes with a different gospel, let it be a curse. That's an angel. How much more one of those politician crookers? Anyway, brothers, I have to say this because we are surrounded by so many so-called Christians that they need to be born again. That's my point, brother. God bless you, and I love you, man. Thank you very much.
Love you. God bless you, brother. You're exactly right, Jose. We need to recognize that the deep, dangerous, dark, devastating days that we're living in and vote accordingly. I'm looking at a headline that says, how much of a role, this is an interesting question, how much of a role does God play in appointing political leaders? That's the question. The article reads in part, how much of a role does God play in appointing political leaders? It's if the authorities that exist have been established by God, Romans 13:1, what do conservative candidates or the more Christian candidates, why do they not always get elected? Surely there are far more prayers for those being elected as Christian candidates than the liberal ones. It goes on to talk about it. It's a hypothetical question. Why is it, the headline? How much role does God play in appointing the elected leaders, political leaders? And my answer to that is very, very simple and very clearly. God created man as the volitional being. We can make a choice, make a decision. You can go back to the scripture and find multitudes of times where God intervened and redirected because the choices and decisions made by human beings. We will make a choice. We, the people, will make a choice in about 60 days. God's desire is to have, according to Exodus chapter 18, verse 21, God's desire is to have men to be placed into political leadership that love God, that honor God, that reverence God, and not for M-O-N-E-Y. I'm looking at another headline, ladies and gentlemen. Comrade Kamala Harris vows to enact socialist takeover of the U.S. food supply chain, mandating grocery prices in America. Five-page article, very succinctly. Let me summarize it. Kamala Harris says that she's going to put rates of food charges, she's going to control food pricing, that she's going to force the food stores, the grocery stores, to set a figure based on government control of the food. She is talking about going in to the food chains. This article reads, socialists take over the food supply chain she and Biden worked to destroy, and mandating of the grocery prices that she and Biden caused to skyrocket through the policies. They have caused the problem and now present themselves as the solution for the problem. In other words, they've caused the inflation. They've caused the sky-high prices in the grocery stores. And now they're saying it's the grocery stores that's responsible, so we're going to put in price controls on what you eat. You remember the days when it was other administrations. I believe Carter was one of them that tried price controls on gasoline. You had cars backed up on the expressway, running out of fuel, miles and miles of cars waiting to get to the service station to put gas in the tank because of the gas control prices. And as a result of that, you had very few places that had. It made a major shortage in fuel in America. If you put price controls on rent, put price controls on housing, put price controls on groceries, and that's what Kamala Harris is talking about, that is simply the socialist, Marxist, communist agenda to take over every aspect of your life and of my life. So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to ask the question, what should we do? How should we respond? What should Christians do? May I say we need to pray. We need to plan. We need to participate. That participation is in the voting process. Listen. If you say, I love Jesus, if you say you're conservative, if you say you're Christian, we need to vote. Put our ballot where our mouth is. We need to make sure that we put Donald J. Trump in office November the 5th, about 60 days from now. If we do not do that, it is my most humble. You can research it. You can look at it. You can analyze Kamala Harris's background, all that she's ever done. She claims she's for the black man. Well, she put more black people in prison and fined more people, black people in the state of California than any other prosecutor in the state or in the nation. And yet she says that she's going to help black people because she's a black woman. Ladies and gentlemen, we're listening and watching a demonic delusion, and that demonic delusion will translate into the loss of America lest we recognize it. We need to understand and recognize what Trump has done in the past. And those that say, well, you know, you can't vote for Trump because he is gruff, he's rough, he's has sin in his life. Well, ladies and gentlemen, who is it that's listening that does not have sin, that's not sinned? If that's the case, not a human being on the face of the globe would qualify to run for president. We're not running candidate Jesus as president. We're running Donald J. Trump as president that has the backbone, the spine, the love for the nation, and the stand for our Constitution to do the job. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. The Florida Georgia Truth Network. Heard in Amelia Island at 91.3.
You know, a lot of times you have to choose between something high quality or something that saves you money. But if you could get both, why not? Especially when it comes to health care, and that is MediShare. You get both. Many families save $500 a